This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and our leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, it's time to tackle meetings. We all have them, and if you've ever walked out of one thinking, that could have been an email, well, you're not alone, and you're probably not wrong. I frequently hint at running better meetings, and that's being one of those core benefits to improving our communication skills. But great communication skills do not beget good or great meetings. So we could talk about whether the meeting's online or if it's in person, it's routine or it's spontaneous, it's voluntary, it's required. Chances are, regardless of the kind of meeting you've had recently, it's probably something you've complained about, or would at least you would have been in the social realm of acceptability to complain about it, even if it was kind of okay. Why? Because you could get that sort of nod of sympathy. You know, you get that from someone who else whenever you say, like, yeah, meetings. Oh, yeah, meetings. Yeah, those suck. Yeah, it's really common. It's a typical cop out. I see it a lot. Mastering meetings, I think it's a worthy goal for anyone focused on communication and leadership. Arguably, this is the setting that most regularly presents an opportunity for us to actually apply our communication skills. The fatal flaw, however, of most meetings is in not the content necessarily or the communication skills inside of it. It's the purpose, or the lack of one, more specifically. And I was taught this by my mentor, Dennis McCarron, and it is a phrase I repeat all the time, and I think it will be very memorable to you as well. Meetings are for making decisions. Meetings are for making decisions. I know I've uttered this before on the podcast, and I myself could not recall exactly which episode it is because it was probably several. Bonus points if you email me and let me know which one it was. I will have to go and review my notes. But listen, when meetings drift from that purpose for making decisions, they stop being meetings and they start becoming something else entirely. It's a briefing or a status report. It's just a block of time spent. And today we're going to talk about what makes a meeting a little more engaging and how to build one that I feel will have everyone leave feeling productive and ready to take action. We have a word of the day, and our word of the day today is axiom. We'll define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve. All right, we are back, and our word of the day is axiom. Axiom is a noun, and that is a statement or a proposition regarded as being established, accepted, or self-evidently true. Meetings are for making decisions. Treat that as an axiom. And every agenda item you add will have a clearer purpose. Now, I'll say this about my friend Dennis, whom that phrase, meetings are for making decisions, comes from. At least that's who I heard it from first. Not everything Dennis says is axiomatic, but many things are. A lot of things Dennis says you'll actually have to contemplate with really intentional thought, and then maybe you'll arrive at agreement, maybe you won't. But I'll give you another axiom. The fatal flaw of most meetings is that they become the delivery mechanism for information that people should already have. And here's where we get into the mix here. When a meeting exists, primarily to transfer information. It reveals, I think, something a little uncomfortable, and that is that either the information channels in the organization are broken, or there is a lack of trust that people are actually engaging with the information that is available to them. And we're going to use everyone's time now to share what anyone could know. And that's where a lot of frustration, rightfully, in my opinion, does come in. And then think about that for a moment. If we have to gather everyone together just to make sure they've received information, it makes sense when you hear that phrase, this meeting could have been an email. And you have to ask, is the purpose of the meeting to ensure accountability to the receiving of information? And if that is the case, that may be part of the problem we're attempting to articulate in casual complaints. And that is a very different thing than a meeting where people arrive prepared, having already digested relevant data, and they're ready to gain agreement so we can act on it, right? For those of you that are listening that are certainly members of automotive service facilities, we can dish out some more axiomatic statements right now. We can say shops are often chaotic environments. Shops often lack any logical channel for sharing information outside of an ad hoc gathering or scheduled meetings. In some facilities, I've mentioned this before in multiple episodes, some facilities don't even have company email addresses for every staff member. That's a broken part of an information channel. So a meeting does, it becomes a band-aid for a broken infrastructure problem. And then we wonder why it feels so inefficient. The meeting was never designed to solve that particular infrastructure problem. And asking it to do so usually means the meeting can't do its actual job, which is to arrive at actionable objectives with clear actions. So the broken information infrastructure, we've identified this now in many organizations. This does more than just slow things down. It creates a meeting culture where the leader does most of the talking and everyone else does most of the listening. Have you been in a meeting like that? That might feel like control for the leader, but it's actually the opposite. It's a room full of people who haven't been trusted to prepare and a leader who has taken on the burden of carrying everything. A lot of the folks in that situation feel like they're just babysitting all the time, having to give out and dish out tasks for everybody because nobody seems to have any initiative on their own whatsoever. And it's a painful lesson, but it's a lesson anyone in leadership will likely have to go through at some point in their leadership journey. You have to take responsibility for that. So there is a better model. It's not always easy, but I think we're going to cover some things that make it easy. And one of the best examples of it I've ever encountered does not come from any boardroom or web meeting scenario, Toastmasters, or anything else. It came from Nuclear Submarine. And it's from a book that I'm definitely going to recommend. And I know I've recommended it before. I'm going to recommend it again. It's called Turn the Ship Around. I'm holding that up in our YouTube video for this right now. But the book is called Turn the Ship Around by David Marquette. And there's the story of the USS Santa Fe, a nuclear submarine, and how Marquette transformed it from one of the worst performing vessels in the Navy to one of the best, with the best enlistment rates then. And this was entirely through a leadership philosophy that was built around intent rather than orders. One of the most elegant principles in the book, and I continually cite this, is this: don't brief, certify. Speaking to someone who's perhaps organizing a meeting like we're discussing here, do not brief, don't talk down to everyone, certify. That's instead of leaders pushing information down to their teams and telling them what to do, team members arrive already knowing what they need to know about their role and the tasks required of them. They communicate their intent, what they're going to do and why, and the leader's role becomes validation rather than command. So Marquette's response throughout this portion of the book, and really pretty much every other portion of the book as well, when someone communicates, I intend to, his response is simply, very well. Such a neat book to go through that. And it's one of those ones that I'm glad I listened to it. Actually, I forget who did the reading on that, but it had a very good reader for it. I was doing a lot of driving when I first picked this book up. And when you constantly hear that phrase, very well, instead of you go do this, this is an order, or anything else like that, you start to really hear the power of the phrases that are uttered in here, especially when his team was communicating the intent. You have to think about what this does to a meeting. Instead of a leader standing at the front of a room downloading information to passive recipients, you have a room full of people who have come prepared, who understand the data, and who are ready to communicate what they intend to do with it. The meeting becomes a certification of understanding and intent rather than a transfer of information. Leaders don't have to assert authority at all. They give their assent to the plan of action their team members are prepared to put into motion. Oh my goodness. And if you have to go and rewind that and play that phrase again, do so, because there's a powerful concept here. And that's the type of meeting that people leave with the momentum that you want to see. Yeah, I love it when the team members are exiting a meeting and they know exactly what they're going to go do and they start doing it right away. And that's a powerful thing. Now, for me, this has consistently been one of the harder principles I've studied, because I've tried various iterations of implementing with varying degrees of success. It's going to take some trial and error on this, just simply delivering this concept as my intent to the team to be able to go and execute a meeting like this doesn't automatically lead to a meeting where this is executed. But my playground for this is going to be a little different than a lot of our listeners. My playground for this is typically in the context of my team meetings with our client success team here at Autoflow, where I do most of my work during the day. We have a lot of really great initiatives, anyone who's familiar with software as a service. But if I'm not on point with communicating our priorities, I too will slip into a trap of reactive briefings on our Monday morning kickoffs. I meet with my team every single Monday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 Eastern. I am so guilty of this. I know there's many of my friends and shop owners who listen loyally to this show and other shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. How many times we've had conversations about the challenge it is to conduct meetings. And boy, you get in that trap of being up there and talking and talking and talking and talking. And that is just a terrible trap to find yourself in. A successful shop meeting with this approach of don't brief, certify is not any simpler to pull off. Our best success with it is usually for me, it was on one of those end of week Friday morning meetings, especially back in the transmission shop days where we had all week, all these things are culminating to that Friday afternoon. It's the weekend. Everybody wants their car for the weekend. We have to figure out a way to make it happen to the best of our ability. So we would get the team motivated with a breakfast meeting. And that was usually where we would have some camaraderie, go over each of the objectives, and each person would take on what they could take on and communicate how they intended to solve the issues and get things truly done. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit shopdogmarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VOIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words that work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals. Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com. And we'll segue into this a little bit too, because I want to say something here. The breakfast always helped. Having a well-fed moment of camaraderie before a busy, hard day takes care of a lot of the social dynamics that otherwise have likely made for a little bit more of a slow or late to the show meeting if we didn't meet early for breakfast and just tried to launch into a conversation at 8 o'clock and then get to it. It was always a little harder. The food kind of combined with a purpose that was just really nice. That is where I want to talk about another meeting principle, because a lot of times in meetings, there's this difficulty that people have in reining in the social talk before the productive part of the meeting can begin. And that's not always a problem. A lot of us who are more sociable, we enjoy that camaraderie and the conversation that goes, but it can be terribly unproductive. If you have multiple meetings in a day, like I do in the software world, meeting, 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 it's a real thing. You need to be far more disciplined about the time you put into each and every one. But I'll say this too, if you're dealing with that social dynamic at the beginning of a meeting where you're just getting everybody reined in, maybe there's too many Michiganders talking about the weather, it's a thing. I actually believe that is a symptom that this is a team that probably does not connect in synchronous, in-person, synced up conversation frequently enough. So a little more regularity in the meetings, usually that won't become as much of an issue. But I do want to introduce a practical tool that you can implement in any of your next meetings. And I really borrowed this from Toastmasters, the way I do things with my home Toastmasters Club, and what we also do in our Remarkable Results online Toastmasters Club is we do introductions at the beginning of the meeting. It isn't just a simple thing to learn people's name and something interesting about them. There's a really good reason why we do this. It's simple though. Before you get into business, you give the room a prompt, one question. Something light, something accessible. It's not going to be hard for them to think about. And you go around and everyone answers it. The person running the meeting will typically call on each person in order. They don't always know the order. That's all right too. Great suspense. The point is, everyone speaks, everyone is heard, and then you move into the meeting. And what this does is really, really elegant in its simplicity. People naturally want to connect socially before they shift into business mode anyways, so you do kind of solve that. And if you don't give that impulse a structured outlet, it leaks into the meeting sideways. And the chit-chat about the weekend, the sidebar conversation, that can delay a meaningful start. And this introductory prompt channels that energy intentionally and then closes the door on it, politely, with structure. And there's something powerful about getting every voice in the room activated early. Once you've spoken once, the barrier to speaking again is lower. I'm going to say that again. Once you've spoken once, the barrier to speaking again is lower. You've already been heard. That changes the dynamic of everything that follows. And I will ask you to think about it. There's probably a person that you have in your meetings that you just wish they would speak up, and you don't even know yet how long the silent pause has to be before they walk into that and speak. This is a good strategy to get them warmed up a little bit. You'll probably see they'll engage better in the meetings now since they have already spoken once. But now look at it this way, because I do think about the difference between a breakfast meeting and an online meeting very specifically. A breakfast meeting, people arrive, there's food, there's warmth, there's social connection that happens. It's natural because you're around a table, the oldest human tradition. The social connection happens so naturally. By the time you get to business, people are already very present and feel heard. An online meeting, on the other hand, can feel like a block of time spent rather than time spent with people. And the introductory prompt can be a really useful tool you can use to close that gap when that is the environment, because sometimes the environment just won't do it for you. Now, this applies to your own team meetings, of course. Cross-organization meetings, those of you who have to meet with other professional teams from other organizations, partners, integration partners, you name it, organization, corporate guys, whatever it is, you'll hopefully have plenty of opportunities for this. But I bet you're going to notice something about those types of meetings that I have noticed too. And I find this so unbelievably fascinating. It doesn't matter if it's a real live in-person boardroom meeting or if you have two different companies meeting virtually in their in boardrooms or their own home offices, it doesn't matter. Of all of the meeting formats I've encountered, formal meetings with business people are often some of the most dry and dispiriting that you'll ever attend. We talk a lot about the fear of public speaking here on this podcast, but where I, honest to goodness, see it most is in these formal corporate meetings. And that's really something, because aren't these all these professionals, they're all there for a reason. They're probably titled and ranked somehow in their organization, important people by some standard or measure, at least smart enough to be in the room to talk about whatever it is that we're talking about at the basest assumption. But most people in a boardroom setting are super, super guarded. It's almost as though that formal setting and the pressure that may come with either negotiations or some other plan that's going to be maybe or maybe not put into action. It's like, are they afraid of their peers condemning them for saying something silly that the other organization maybe doesn't like? It doesn't really get to me. And I'm the kind of guy that just sort of steps in. I'll probably smile. I'll usually try to draw something out, or I'm perfectly okay with seeming a little silly or asking a silly question sometimes too. But look, that fear, that reserved quality can make a meeting worse. And you get low engagement from people in some of those meetings and some really awkward, strange silences, because it's not always clear, especially with other orgs. Sometimes they just are not good at saying who's in charge of a meeting. Yeah, low engagement's bad. Passive observers is usually what it looks like. I think this is the most fun thing in the world to solve, and it's solved best by a quick round of brief introductions. Yes, it's a small risk because some people do not know how to give a brief introduction, but getting everyone to speak again in this environment, even a little bit, genuinely beneficial. The last thing I want is when someone really intelligent in that room who we haven't met yet finally speaks up with a really great question about the thing that might change the whole direction of a project in a meaningful way, and they have to introduce themselves first. It's like, I'm sorry, who are you? You won't need that if someone just takes charge and gets people to introduce themselves briefly at the beginning of the meeting. So remember that next time you're in a meeting like that and people seem a little stiff, maybe even if it's a few minutes in and you realize, oh, hey, hang on, guys, before we go any further, we really need to do some introductions and then move in, and it'll be so much better. And I'll say this, if no one else is taking charge to do the introductions, be that guy. Just be that guy. It's okay. I've been that guy a number of times. I haven't been fired yet. Not yet. So let's bring this back to the axiom. Meetings are for making decisions. Data and reporting, however, do have their place in a meeting that can't be taken away completely. I'm not suggesting you walk in blind. There is a difference between data that fuels a decision and data that fills time. And if your meeting is primarily a review of KPIs and metrics, ask yourself honestly, could this have been shared in a document? Could people have reviewed this on their own time and arrived ready to act on it? I think the reporting portion of any meeting should be brief and actionable, just enough to make a decision, not a full review, not a deep dive, a launching pad. If the data requires lengthy explanation before anyone can engage with it, that's a preparation problem in most cases, not a meeting problem. And this is something we constantly refine at Autoflow. Chris Cloutier, our CEO, he's obviously very good with his auto repair shops as well, Golden Rule. I know they have some very good meetings, KPIs, metrics, and reviews, and they're actionable. And we have KPI meetings here at Autoflow where the review is a part of the meeting. But we pulled it back to a short individual report from each department leader, and it's better this way. The temptation to drift back into passive review might be there in some cases. We actually put a 5-minute limit on each department lead. But the thing with that limit, we used to use an app for this, and when it got down to zero, like, that's it, you're done. And with multiple departments, 5 minutes still, I mean, you could be 30 minutes of review in some meetings. But the thing with that 5-minute limit, we've done that over and over and over and over and over again as we have these meetings monthly over several years. But as far back as I can remember now, I cannot recall the last time we actually needed the timer. But each department had become very effective at delivering a short synopsis of the data as they see it. And that was typically combined with a clear set of actions. The clear set of actions, like with, it could be a number of things, their intent to correct something, continue something that's going very well, or just shift to an entirely new goal. And the team will have a chance to ask questions, challenge it, or of course, certify the intent. The question I think that you would need to ask, though, of every agenda item is really simple. What decision does this lead to? And if you can't answer that, it might not belong in a meeting. It might belong in an email. A well-run meeting, I feel, is one where people are arriving prepared, they contribute their intent, they make decisions together, and then they leave with clarity on what happens next. There's no confusion, no loose ends. Everyone knows what they own and what they're going to do. And that's not just a productive meeting. That's a meeting that actually reduces conflict rather than creating it. And that might seem like a stretch, but most workplace conflict doesn't come from disagreement. It comes from misalignment. People leaving the room with different understandings of what was decided or who felt like they played no role at all in the decisions and carry some resentment from that sort of a sense. So a meeting done right closes those gaps long before that becomes a problem. The bottom line is this: meetings don't have to be something that people dread. I don't dislike meeting with my team. There's some meetings that I wish we had that could go longer to arrive at even better decisions. But a lot of things get very busy, right? These can be something that people value. When people do leave them more clear, more aligned, more confident in what they're going to do next, that's great. Just to recap, some of the tips that we covered here today is to keep reporting brief and actionable, certify understanding and intent rather than briefing down, use an introductory prompt to channel social connections and activate every voice, and always ask, what decision does this meeting exist to make? Now, one of the final things I'll say here is, and I point to this a lot when I'm doing some coaching on change management, it's how important it is to cultivate a culture of shared urgency that takes a team that can both act and argue comfortably with each other. A great meeting, then, is one of the best places to build that kind of culture. People speak, they are heard, they commit to intent, and they leave ready to move. When your meetings work like that, everything downstream of them works better too. I hope this gives you plenty to think about. And hey, we appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. Please email me here at speakup@craigoneill.net. O'Neill is O-N-E-I-L-L. And remember to listen up on the app to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriotto, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonzo. He'd be a fun guy to meet with, I'm sure of it. He wouldn't derail anything. Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, Autoflow, ShopDog Marketing, Inbound, and serviceadvisortraining.com. We really appreciate you making this show possible. We thank you, our loyal listeners, for being with us today. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, listen up, speak up, and meet up.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.